In 2 Kings chapter 5, we're reading about Naaman. And Naaman was a good man. Naaman was a powerful man. Naaman was a man of influence, but Naaman was a leper. You say, preacher, how in the world do you get something out of marriage with Naaman? This morning I'm preaching on this thought, leprosy in your marriage. We've talked about what is marriage. The first week we dealt with what is marriage. We talked about what God expects from every husband. We've learned from the scriptures in this series what God expects from every wife. And this morning I want to deal with the thought, leprosy in your marriage. It's said today that about 180,000 people in the world are diagnosed with leprosy. You and I don't hear about it very much. In America, I guess there's about 100 or 200 cases every year. But leprosy is a horrible disease that eats away at the flesh. It begins with specks on the eyelids and on the palms and gradually spreads over the body, bleaching the hair white wherever they appear, crusting the affected parts with white scales, and causing terrible sores and swellings. From the skin disease that eats inward to the bones, rotting the whole body. But there's more to leprosy than just the attack that it has on the outward that we see in its definition. Leprosy destroys nerve passages so that the pain cannot be felt. And as a result, unfelt sores and cuts begin to fester until they infect the whole body. Gangrene can settle in from this, and amputation of limbs may result in leprosy in a body. It's a terrible effect. It's a terrible disease, and it has devastating effects, not just physically, but also socially. In the Old Testament, a leper was confined to be outside of a walled city. A leper could not be with the people in the city. They were confined. They were segregated, so to speak. It has a physical effect on the body, but it has a social effect on the person. However, when we look at leprosy in the Bible, it is not just a physical disease, but it is symptomatic, or it symbolizes a spiritual or spiritual needs, spiritual deterioration in a person. Leprosy is an exact picture of sin. It does to the spiritual body, sin does to the spiritual body what leprosy does to the physical body. We see the outward and visible signs in leprosy on a body. If somebody has leprosy, you begin to see those sores and you begin to see the hair bleached, and they're noted as a whited sepulcher, so to speak, because of the effects that it's having on the outside. But may I say here this morning that leprosy, some are living with leprosy in their marriages. And it's doing the same thing. It is destroying, it is disintegrating the marriage from the inside out. It has all kinds of devastating effects on a marriage. It causes all kinds of problems. You say, how does leprosy start in a marriage, preacher? How does it get in to where it begins to have these devastating effects over a period of time? Sometimes it enters through the sins of pride and stubbornness, where one refuses to give in at all. And every time there's a conflict, you stand your ground at all cost. And you win. But more importantly, you allow leprosy to start in your marriage. It starts internally. It just keeps eating away and dismantling and disfiguring your marriage. Oh, nobody may know about it at the beginning. Nobody may see it at the outside because the outward signs don't always show up right away. But inwardly, those sins of pride and those sins of stubbornness are eroding and contributing to the disease of leprosy in your marriage. It could be the sin of pornography in a man's life that causes him to have left his first love, that brings dissatisfaction into the marriage relationship, where the wife always falls short of the husband's expectation. And behind the scenes, deep down in the heart, somebody's giving himself to that sin, and leprosy begins to affect your marriage. It may be the sin of lack of self-control. You don't control yourself in spending. You don't control yourself in eating. You don't control your responses to your mate. There's a lack of trust. It generates frustration. And your lack of self-control and your undisciplined living contributes to leprosy beginning in your marriage. It could take the form, leprosy has different strains in a marriage. It could take the form of bitterness, where you're harboring hurt and it defiles you inwardly, to where wrath and malice and an unforgiving spirit result in sores and cuts in your life and in the life of your mate. Sometimes this strain of leprosy that hits a marriage is found when you just ignore all the problems and you hope they go away. And you hope that somehow they fix themselves. And may I say to you today, marital problems don't fix themselves. You can't just ignore the problems when they're sitting right there before you and hope they go away and hope how somehow it gets better. You're allowing the leprosy in your marriage to continue to eat away at your marriage. You hope they'll get better. You refuse to listen to your husband or wife's concerns. Your wife goes to you and says, "Can't we get some help?" And you reject it. You want the leprosy to eat away. I'm saying too many are living in this situation today, refusing to seek godly counsel or heed it. And then leprosy turns to gangrene. And when it turns to gangrene, the outward signs begin to show up. And things begin to get very unstable in the marriage. And words begin to come out and threats begin to be made. And the D word comes up in the marriage, or at least in the thought. And people are somehow in their minds thinking, if I could just get out of this. Why? Because you have leprosy in your marriage. Marriage partners yell at each other, threaten one another. The volcano is over and both retreat to silence, and guilt and anger continues to build up. In a marriage that's filled with leprosy, the mote in your mate's life becomes a beam, and the beam in your life is only a mote. Often statements come out like this: "I'm not perfect, but if you only knew my mate, if you only knew my wife or husband." And then all the verbal darts start flying. "Sir, ma'am, you're living with leprosy in your marriage." Leprosy numbs the body. And spiritual leprosy in your marriage numbs your marriage. I hear sounds of it when somebody says, "I don't know if I love him anymore. I don't know if I love her anymore." What's taking place? There's been enough erosion under the surface in the hearts of those individuals, first with God and then with each other, that now they begin to question their love for one another. They're looking for that feeling, but in their marriage, they're numb. That's what leprosy does to an individual physically, and that's what spiritual leprosy does to an individual in their heart and soul towards their mate. And may I say, the application this morning is much broader than marriage. There are some that are living in spiritual leprosy this morning. And it doesn't affect, you're not in a marriage, but you are living with leprosy that's disintegrating you from the inside out. And it begins to show up now in big choices that you make. It's a serious thing. But when you study leprosy, it's undetected in its early stages. But after about 6 months, the nerve damage is permanent. It has such a fast-moving effect on a body. And may I say, spiritual leprosy has such a fast-moving effect on your soul and upon your relationships in life. It moves so fast, you don't realize how fast it's moving. Some have said, some doctors have said, the World Health Organization said symptoms can take as long as 20 years to appear. There's a lot that's going on under the surface that nobody sees until it starts to appear. Naaman was a captain. Naaman was a great man, according to the scriptures in verse number 1. He was honorable. He was a man of valor. Later in the passage, it talks about that. But in Naaman's case, in spite of all his accomplishments, his power, and his prestige, there was something else that was actually controlling and defining his life. And that was that he was a leper. Oh, he was a captain. Oh, he saw victory in his life in the physical manner, in battles and victories. Oh, he was honorable to his master. He was somebody that you would have picked as a worker. If you could have picked a man and said, boy, I want the model workman, it would have been Naaman, according to the scriptures. He was a great man, the Bible says, with his master. God had given him deliverance in Syria, but that was not what was defining Naaman's life. What was defining Naaman's life was his leprosy. Those last words of verse number 1 overshadow all of what the Bible says in verse number 1. All of these things were true about Naaman, but he was a leper. He was known as a leper. Leprosy was the AIDS of Naaman's day. You see, you can be a hard worker. You can be a man that lives without any fear. You can be fearless. You can be honorable in other areas of your life. You can be a great mother, ladies. You can be a diligent lady. But if there's leprosy in your marriage, it's defining you. If there's leprosy in your soul as a believer, it's defining and controlling you. That's what was taking place in the life of Naaman. Someone said Naaman might have been a candidate for Time Magazine's Man of the Year. However, that last word, leprosy, undermined everything else that was going on. In fact, it affected all other areas of his life. Think about Naaman as he went to battle. He could not get relief from his leprosy. Wherever he went, the disease of leprosy went with him. And where there's leprosy in your marriage and where there's leprosy in your soul as a Christian, wherever you go, it goes with you. You don't get relief by changing places or going about your daily responsibilities in life. My friend, if you're dealing with leprosy this morning, it goes with you wherever you go. And it went with Naaman. It controls your mind. It strangles the joy that you might experience in your life, in your marriage. It weighs you down as you fear what might happen in your marriage next. It seems hopeless at times as far as finding a cure. This is what leprosy does. This is what sin does to a life. What it does to a marriage. It controls you. You live with it. Leprosy had an isolating effect on its victim. The leper, wherever he was required to have his outer garment rent as a sign of deep grief. He was required to go bareheaded, to cover his beard with his mantle, as if in lamentation of his own virtual death. He had further to warn passers-by to keep away from him by calling out, "Unclean! Unclean!" Can you imagine living a life like that? Brethren, when leprosy begins to take root in a soul and the outward manifestations come to the surface, you are unclean, according to the scriptures. You are living a life that begins to show up in your life to others, that you're dealing with leprosy in your life, spiritual leprosy, that you're dealing with leprosy in your marriage. Has an isolating effect on its victim. When one is living with leprosy in his marriage, he feels isolated from his wife, or vice versa, the wife feeling isolated from her husband. Biblical leprosy is a powerful symbol, reminding us of sin's spread and its horrible consequences. Remember this, it starts small. Leprosy, spiritual leprosy in your life, and in your marriage, start small. In Numbers chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, and every one that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead. Both male and female shall ye put out. Without the camp shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so. You know that had to be a tough day. As they walked through the city, and they took the lepers, male and female, according to God's command, and they took them and pushed them, walked them outside the city. Oh, they lost support. They lost encouragement. They were probably hopeless living in the city as far as being a leper, but now outside of the city, they were isolated from everyone. And listen to me, that's what your sin will do to you. It'll isolate you from those that love you. It'll isolate you from your support. It'll isolate you from where you might have hope. That's what happened to the leper in the Old Testament. They were required to live outside the city. The Lord smote the king in 2 Kings 15 so that he was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a several house. What would it be like to have everything? To be given so much like Naaman and yet have a disease like leprosy. His future was bleak. Oh, from the outside, if you were just looking at his military experience and prowess and victories, he looked like a successful man. But the leprosy controlled him. It defined him. It isolated him. And the future was not bright. In a marriage, leprosy begins to cause further isolation between a mate and God. I'm not walking with my mate in a right relationship, and as a result of not being right with my mate, I can't be right with God. And so it begins to isolate me from my mate. It begins to isolate me from God. The ones that I love, the ones that are near to me, the ones that I'm committed to, have been committed to in my life, now I'm isolated from. Now it's as though I've walked outside the city that God had for me. Because I don't deal with my leprosy. In a marriage that's full of leprosy, it often looks like this. They avoid each other. They play judge and jury and executioner in their minds with their mate. They prosecute one another over everything. That's what a marriage looks like. And then they live without hope. And may I say to you today, leprosy in a marriage is incurable from within. Just as Naaman's leprosy was not curable, nobody could give Naaman the cure. So if you're dealing with leprosy in your life, you're dealing with it spiritually in your life, you're a young person or you're an older person, and you sense what I'm talking about in your life, there are cuts and sores. There's a numbness towards God. There's a numbness towards others. You're not hearing from God. There's a leprosy that's developing internally in your life. So it is with you. It spreads, it controls, it consumes a person. It has an isolating effect. But God can heal leprosy. References to leprosy in the New Testament have a difference emphasis than references to leprosy in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Christ is on the spot. I want you to get this thought. In the Old Testament, lepers were cast them out. They're castaways. Everybody's to stay away from them. In the New Testament, Jesus is mixing with the leper, saying, I want to heal you. The leprosy that you have, you cannot cure yourself. And if you're dealing with leprosy in your soul this morning spiritually or in your marriage this morning, you sense what I'm talking about. There is no cure from within. You're not going to fix it on your own, but God can heal the leper. Turn over to Matthew chapter 8, if you will. Matthew chapter 8. The Bible says in verse number 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The leper came to Jesus with faith. He said, Lord, if it's your will, I know you have the power to make me clean. You know, many times when somebody is living with leprosy in their lives, in their marriage, we don't believe God. That's not what the leper did. He came to the Lord and he said, Lord, I am a leper, but if it's your will, I believe that you will make me clean. And when Jesus saw his faith, he said this, I will be thou clean. And he was cleansed immediately of his leprosy. Can I give you a hint to God delivering you from leprosy this morning? You must believe that he can. You have to believe that he can deliver you from the leprosy in your soul, from the leprosy that you're facing in your marriage. God can heal it. In Luke chapter 17, turn over there in your Bibles if you will. Luke chapter 17. We have the story of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. It says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Again, they're afar off. They've been trained, so to speak. You have to stay away from others. But notice, while they're yet afar off, they cry out to the Lord. They could see the Lord. They cry out to him and say, have mercy. Listen to me this morning. When you're dealing with leprosy in your soul, you're far from God. You're standing afar off. You're like the lepers in chapter 17 of Luke, where you can't get close to Jesus, but what you can do is cry out and say, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't want this life anymore. Lord, I'm sick of all the effects. I'm sick of the numbness, the sores and the cuts and the swellings in my life, what I'm bearing emotionally and the decisions that I've made. Lord, forgive me, help me, deliver me. Those that are living there this morning, may I urge you, you must believe that God can deliver you. The cure for leprosy requires desperate measures. It requires desperate measures. Turn over to 2 Kings, back to 2 Kings 5. Second Kings chapter 5, as we look back at Naaman. To give you the scenario, there's a slave that's in Naaman's house in this passage. She's from Israel. I believe she was a young lady. There's a conversation going on between Naaman's wife and this young lady in their home. We begin reading about it in verse number 3. The Bible says, and she, that's Naaman's wife, said unto her mistress, would God my Lord, that's Naaman, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, that's the king of Syria now, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is in the land, is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. I want you to see in this passage, there were others that could see it. The wife of Naaman said, oh, if you could just see the prophet, if you could get to the prophet of God, I believe that he could be healed of his leprosy. The king, when he heard the word of the young lady from Israel, said, I'll send a letter. I'll send a letter over to Israel. There were people that were wanting to help. There were people that could see the need. There were people that were ready to jump in and do whatever to help Naaman get cured from his leprosy. But get this morning. His wife couldn't do it all. And neither could the king. They could send letters, they could wish, they could hope, they could see maybe. Man, if he gets to the prophet, that would help him. But Naaman had to take the steps. Naaman had to become desperate in his life to where he said, I need help. I want deliverance from this life, from this disease. Others tried to help Naaman. And maybe they did, some. But no one could deliver him from his leprosy. And may I say to you, there may be others who are a burden for you today. There may be others that would say, man, if I could help. If I could do something to help turn your life, to give you victory over this in your area, in your life. If I could help your marriage somehow. Whatever I could do, I'm willing to help. But the bottom line is, when you're dealing with leprosy, only God can help. There are others that are ready to rally around and help and support and strengthen. But you must be wanting it. You have to get desperate over it. Naaman left. Notice he thought he would somehow buy it. Took a lot with him, according to the scriptures. He used all the resources that he could think of, hoping to find someone that he could pay, maybe, to help him be delivered of this. 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold. 10 changes of raiment. Naaman had it in his mind that he would maybe find deliverance his way. Verse number 8, chapter 5. The Bible says, "And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.'" These are powerful words. So Naaman came. He was that desperate that he came. You know, sometimes our pride keeps us from coming. Why is it that when we deal with leprosy in our lives and we're challenged to come, we run the other way? Naaman came. 3 simple words. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. I wonder what must have been going through his mind as he went to that house, having lived with leprosy, having had it control his life, having had the wounds all over. And he came and knocked on the door of Elisha. The Bible shows us that he had an expectation that this was going to be a quick fix. I want you to read on. "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' For Naaman, it came to a point where nothing else mattered to him. He wanted deliverance from leprosy." Are you living with leprosy? Have you gotten desperate about it yet? Is your marriage full of trouble? Is the pain so great that you've lived with it so long that you're almost numb to it now? Are you oppressed, discouraged, depressed? And it continues to go on and on. My question is this: when are you going to come like Naaman did? Sin in your life ought to bring you to take desperate measures. You could be living with all of sin's after effects. Anger at yourself. Anger at others. Guilt, pressure, even legal matters resulting from your sin. I'm asking you, when will it be said of your life, "So fill in the blank of the name, Cain"? Naaman came. You're in great need this morning if you have leprosy. You better come to God. But leprosy cannot be cured when anger is present. Look at verse number 10. Elisha gives direction. He says, "Go wash 7 times in Jordan." I want you to see Naaman's response. "But Naaman was wroth and went away." Oh, opportunity lies at the door. Oh, he's been given the direction for his life. And at the point at which he's given the direction, the Bible says this of him: he was wroth and left. He was so close to deliverance. And he left in anger and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. You know, many, many people continue to live with leprosy because when direction is given for deliverance, they reject it. Everybody wants the quick fix to leprosy. That's what Naaman wanted. He'll pray over me. He'll call on the name of the Lord. I'll be healed. And couldn't I go to one of the other rivers? Something that's nicer and cleaner than dirty Jordan? Do I have to get messy to get clean? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have to deal with your sin God's way. You have to deal with the issues in your soul God's way if you're going to be clean. Naaman said, I want deliverance. I want it so bad, but on my terms. You won't get it that way. And Naaman didn't either. You only get it when you come God's way. He had been given the steps to cure, but anger kept him from being cured. His pride kept him from being cured. He didn't want to have to humble himself. Nathan, the captain of the army, dipping in Jordan? Listen to some prophet that told him to go dip in Jordan? Remember this morning, you can't be cured from your leprosy in your marriage without doing it God's way. You know what was really at the crux for Naaman's cure? It wasn't whether or not God could do it. That wasn't the question. The question is whether or not Naaman would have the humility and obedience to tap into God's power. God has power. God has power to fix unbelievable situations, to mend the brokenhearted, to put together people that have a hatred towards one another. It wasn't that problem at all in Naaman's life. The problem in Naaman's life was his pride. The problem in Naaman's life was, I think I can find another way. That's what kept Naaman from being cured. Thankfully, he had some wise men around him. This is often the problem with the gospel of Christ. Christ says, believe on him. He says, I've given myself for you. Come to me as a humble sinner. Admit your sin before a holy God. Repent of it. Turn to me in faith. And people have their own ideas about how to get to God. And when they hear that message, they turn and they go the other way, like Naaman did. Often in anger. And it keeps them from having the precious gift of salvation, from being delivered from sin's leprosy, from the leprosy of sin and its judgment, all the effects of it. All Naaman had to do was lay his pride aside. There's another truth about leprosy. It's cured through cleansing. He chose to become a whole person, and in doing so, he left his old life. Remember, he was in Syria. He was not in a God-friendly country. Was not in a country that was worshiping the Lord. But when he came back the second time, and when he finally humbled himself after he had heard from his men and they asked him the questions and drew him to the conclusion, hey, listen to this prophet. Go do what this prophet told you to do. Naaman finally dropped his pride. He dropped his old gods. And he went right to a life-giving God. Turn over to Luke chapter 4 as I close the message. Luke chapter 4, verse number 27. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliasus the prophet. There's a sad statement here. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Could it be that there's a leper here this morning? Spiritually, you are bearing sin's disease. The wounds are evident in your life. Somebody from the outside could clearly point to all of them. Say, don't you see? Don't you see your leprosy? Could it be that there's a leprous marriage this morning? And you're drifting like this and it's not going well, and in your heart as a mate, you know it's not going well. Oh, you come and sit together in church. We can all do that. But leprosy is hitting your marriage. The wounds are showing up. The infection is setting in. The story of Luke 4 is that none of them were cleansed except Naaman. You may be here this morning and it's sapping you of all energy and strength and joy. It's numbing your relationship with the Lord. It's numbing your relationship with others. And God says, go wash. Go wash. I can clean you. I can cleanse you of this disease. Go wash. Find cleansing again. But you think that there's another answer. And you've got it lined out in your mind how you're going to do it. My friend, can I just warn you this morning? You're not going to do it. Your way is not going to make it better. God's way is going to make it better. And there are some here this morning that are hearing me that maybe it would be good for you to visit an altar that you haven't visited in a while and say, Lord, wash me. Lord, whatever, however dirty I need to get clean, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. Lord, I can't heal myself of my leprosy. Lord, the leprosy in my marriage is just about breaking me. But Lord, I'm coming this morning afresh to you. I want to be washed. And God, I'm coming believing that if you will, you can make me clean. And Lord, if you will, you can take my marriage and you can take the leprosy out of my marriage. Brethren, it's time to stop living with leprosy. Naaman got to a point where he said, it's time. Is it time for you? Are you going to continue to live and continue to let it control and define your life? Go with you wherever you go, like Naaman did? Bear the pain that it produces and continues to produce and will continue to produce? Or will you stop on a Sunday morning as we approach the first day in December 2014 and say, it's time? And Naaman came. He didn't have a right response at first. He ran off in rage. But somebody else spoke truth into his ears, gave wisdom to him. And he came and he submitted himself in obedience to the God's way through the prophet. And God healed him. And God can heal you too.